be upon my lips and in each of our hearts. Amen. Please be seated. The scripture which this congregation calls its own is Isaiah 61. It's on this scroll which goes all the way around the church. And if you haven't read it, I would invite you just to take some time and walk slowly around the church and read Isaiah 61. This month, January, I am spending that time unpacking for us a little bit what it means to live out Isaiah 61 as a congregation and as individuals. A part of that has to do with an understanding of who we are in Christ. Last Sunday, we talked about who Christ is. You might remember we had a creche here and these gifts brought by the wise men to the baby Jesus. But the baby Jesus, when those gifts were brought, is not likely the baby in the creche, but the baby Jesus 2 years later when those wise men arrived. And this picture we have here is of about a two-year-old Jesus in his father's carpentry shop picking up one of three nails that happens to be lying on the floor. And we talked about the gifts that the wise men brought, the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh, the gold representing the acknowledgement of the royalty of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The frankincense, the prayers of the people wafted up into the nostrils of God. And the myrrh representing healing and anointing. And in fact, Isaiah 61 begins, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, anointing me to bring good news." And it is this Jesus who declared Isaiah 61 fulfilled in the hearing of those with him that day. And we as now the body of Christ, whose charge it is to live out that anointing, to touch this world. And this is not done by clergy, or better, not done by clergy alone. We too, as clergy, are a part of the priesthood of all believers. But when Scripture refers to priests, and particularly in the New Testament, it refers not to clergy, but to believers. And so the real call, the real assignment, the real living out of ministry is done by the body of Christ, by every one of us as believers, and the clergy are given to equip. Not that we always do it well, but that's the call, is to help equip so that that ministry might be done by the body of Christ, anointed as Jesus was. Now, a part of this means declaring the good news, sharing the good news, inviting people into the kingdom who may not even know the kingdom exists. And this church has given now 2 Sunday mornings a month, more likely will come as time goes on, when members of this congregation go out. As this worship service begins, some members of this congregation go out and visit the neighborhoods of West Chicago and knock on people's doors. Begin to be the priests of the body of Christ. Begin to share the good news with neighbors. And so a part of what I want to do this morning in sharing the word in preaching is invite some of those folks who do this regularly, and I hope each of us will take that opportunity as time goes on, to come up and just share for a few minutes last Sunday's visit to the apartment complex right behind this church. Would you do that now? Come up and share that for a few minutes. I want you to hear from this body of Christ as it is the body of Christ in the neighborhood. Just use the microphone at the podium if you would.
I'll go first. Good morning, everybody.
This is Marilyn.
Oh, was I supposed to introduce myself? I don't know. My name is Marilyn, and yes, hi, Nancy. Never mind. Inside joke. Last Sunday, when we got back from going out to the neighborhood, there was a group of ladies up here, and they were praying. And I was trying to describe what it's like being in a church, and there's another organization that I'm a part of, and we spend our time together, and it's kind of like the coach in there at halftime with us in the football game, and we're getting all psyched up, and we're in there, you know, just, yeah! And but then there's no game. You know, the game gets called. You know, we're just standing here. We don't go out and do the game. We don't play the football game. And last Sunday, I got to play the football game.
Amen.
I got to go out. We suited up in the Holy Spirit. Excuse the trite metaphors. It's just tripping from my lips this morning.
Ephesians 6.
And we go over to the apartment building here in West Chicago. And, you know, these are folks that are lower income folks, and a lot of Mexicans and blacks, and you know, and please don't take that as a racial thing, because it's not. It just happens to be what it is, folks. Ain't no PC stuff coming out of these lips this morning. And preach it, sister. There was a language barrier. We wish we had Cheryl Waterman with us, because she's a Spanish teacher. But you know what? God prepared us anyway. And Pam and I were paired together. And Pam got the courage to knock on the door, and I would talk, you know. And I said about the only Spanish I could remember was tú entiendes inglés, which you guys can even understand. And you get the look. No. And it's like, okay, well, we're gonna try to talk about God anyway. So I mustered up a couple of Spanish phrases. And God did a synapse thing. He jumped over into the neurons of the person there, and we were able to talk to them and pray for them and bless them. And as Pam and I were walking out of this one building in the landing, the Holy Spirit overtook me. And the power of God's Spirit was just pouring through me, and I could feel God's presence and his call upon these people. These were his people. And even in church this morning, to pour through us and send us out into the world to reach the lost. And it was a powerful experience. And we don't do that for the experience, but we do it because it's God's heart. He wants to bring in all the people, all of them, no matter where they've been and what they've done, no matter they're rich or poor. And it's time for us to go out and play the football game, guys. We've been in the locker room too long. All right, that's it.
I just want to read a scripture, and we all know the Great Commission, Mark 16, verse 15. And Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And then it talks about the signs that will follow. I'm not here to preach, but one of these days I'd like that opportunity. I have a lot to say. You know, I've been trained as, I think I was sharing with Rebecca this weekend that I was saved at 17, and then I was out witnessing in fear and trembling the next week. And my spiritual mom was a missionary with Navigators and eventually Wells Global and Campus Crusade and InterVarsity. So I've had evangelism explosion and all of that. But guess what, folks? That stuff kind of goes out the door. Because when you're out there, the scripture says that they overcame by the word of their testimonies. Amen. And when you can just share from your heart what God has done for you, even if it's only John 3:16, people get the good news. And the word just simply says that he that winneth souls is wise. And I tell you, this is not a sales pitch to try to get more to come out. When the Lord speaks to your hearts, you'll come and you'll be a part. But it is just such a blessing. The blessing that God sort of overflows into your own life is amazing. There was one woman that we talked to that really stands out in my mind. I hope she comes, and I've been in contact with her since we went out early on in the summer. And she basically said, I'm a Muslim, and I've been starting to read the Bible myself, and I really just want a place to go to church. And we happened to show up on her doorstep, and she allowed us to pray with her and her children. And she said, I'm so glad you came because, you know, this is God. She said, I don't know a lot about the Bible, but I really want to come. And, you know, so really please remember her name is Dalon Coley, and when she comes, we'll all rejoice together. But, you know, that's what it's about, sharing the good news for people who are out there who are hurting and many of them even dying. You know, let me just say something real quickly about the church, and this is not meant to be condemnation, but we've sort of become comfortable and we've become people of the status quo. And it's very easy to sort of be closed in our own little places and not really look outside and allow too many different people to come in because it would sort of shake the status quo. But, you know, people are dying, and Jesus went to all people. He didn't come to call the righteous. So our encouragement, or my encouragement to you, is that wherever you are, even if it's John 3:16, share the word and watch people's lives change and watch your own life be blessed as a result. Thank you for this time.
Well, Rebecca and I were paired up, and God led us to start at the back of the apartment complex, kind of the closest to our church location. And about the third person that we met, her name was Amanda, and she's biracial. She was born in Mexico and then moved here when she was in elementary school and had to learn English through the school system here. But she teaches English and Spanish as second languages. And so I told her I'd been wanting to learn Spanish. And she was very, she was very happy to hear that. And she said that she also teaches mixed classes with people trying to learn both languages as a way of making it more integrated and more like real life. And she said some experience with church. So it's just exciting to see what God's going to do there. Amen. Thanks, God.
Amen. Folks, God's moving into the neighborhoods. Amen. He loves those people over there. And when we went over here to this apartment complex, it's a totally different neighborhood than it is in Dawn's neighborhood. And last week was our first week, obviously. And there's darkness there. And we're pushing back the darkness, and God wants to bless these people. And this is the deal. You know who our parish is? It's everybody within a 5-mile radius of this church. It's not a mistake that God plopped us down into this neighborhood and gave us ministry to these people. And let me tell you something. We don't pick and choose our neighbors and who we minister to. God has done that, and he's chosen that for us. And he loves those people. And let me tell you something. It is, when you go into that apartment complex, it's totally different than even 59. I mean, you go in there, and there's trash strewn all over the place. There's mattresses all over the place. It's hard. People don't want to open their doors because they see two white people standing there and going, it's immigration. So when we go to minister to these people, there's all kinds of social ills that God wants to deal with, but he loves them. And so I just encourage you to come. The scripture that God gave us last week to go on was this. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. So I stand here with you today and ask that you covenant with us that you would pray for these, our neighbors, and that blessing, the blessing that we have in Jesus Christ, would go forth to that neighborhood, to Dawn's neighborhood, and to every person that we're to minister to in this area. So I just encourage you guys to come. We were so full of joy. I don't think if we had a car, we probably would have been raptured. I mean, you should have seen us on the way home. It was unbelievable. I had energy for like 5 hours after that. I couldn't even come down. But it's just a blessing of the Lord. The Lord's presence is there, and he loves these people. And I'm telling you, it's an awesome gift that he's given us. And thank you for letting us share that with you.
It's just wonderful. I don't know about you, but that just makes me really, really happy. I particularly liked the words that Marilyn used when she began. Because what goes on here, this is the time that you spend with the coach, with the whiteboard and the marker, and you draw plays, and you study the game book and the playbook, and you suit up. And the suit is Ephesians 6. It's all the armor of God. That's what we put on. But what goes on here, this is not the game. This is the preparation for the game. And the clergy are not the team. You are. The clergy are, at best, the coaches. And we've played the game. We've studied. We've been trained to teach the game. But ultimately, our job is to send you all out. And go with, too. We get to play. But we're not the team. All of us are. So I want to spend just a minute or two talking about how it is that we get formed here. How it is that we get trained to go out. Now, a part of going out is just exactly what happened last Sunday. To go and knock on the doors of strangers, people you've never met, and find a way and an opportunity to bless them. You know what they do is they say, can we pray for you? Is there anything going on in your life or your family that we can pray about? And then they do that. They pray to bless them and they pray for the coming of God's presence. That's what the evangelism looks like. But you know what? We can do that with the person in the cubicle next to us. When there's a struggle going on with mom who's in the hospital, or a brother or sister, husband, wife, neighbor, we ought to have enough courage to be able to say something like, can I pray for you right now? I won't do it loud enough to embarrass you in front of the whole office, and I won't hold you up to any sort of ridicule, but can I just pray for a minute? And then just go ahead and pray. Amen. We can do that with neighbors, with people at the store. Some of you heard me talk about being in Whole Foods a few weeks ago. And I bought some little bitty round eggplants. They're called Thai eggplant, but they really look like the eggplant that you get in Uganda. As I was checking out, the young woman who was checking me out said, what are those? I've never seen those before. And I said, those are eggplants. She said, really, eggplants? Wow, nobody's ever bought those from me before. And I said, well, they look just like the eggplant that we've had in Uganda, and they're really good, and so I want to just bring them home and cook them up. And she said, you've been to Uganda? And I said, yeah, I have. And she said, what's it like there? I said, it's one of the most beautiful places on earth. It's called the Switzerland of Africa or the Jewel of Africa. I said, it's so rich and abundant there that they have a saying, which is plant a pigtail, grow a pig. Because everything grows there. It grows like crazy. And there's abundant food. And she said, I thought Africa was a desert. And I realized as soon as she said that how little we know about the rest of the world. And I said, have you ever been out of the country? And she said, no. And I said, the world is very different than you think it is. I said, most of Africa is lush. It's a beautiful place. I said, the Sahara Desert, which is very big, that's desert. But most of Africa isn't the Sahara Desert. Most of Africa is rich and abundant. She said, I never would have known that. And so we finished our transaction, and I went to leave. And I realized that I had done nothing to invite this woman to know anything about the Lord. I'd talked a little bit about traveling and a little bit about Africa. And I'd done the same thing once a few weeks earlier and had just gone on home. And so I stopped and I went back and I gave her my card. And I said, you know, our church has a very strong relationship with Uganda. Many of us have been there. And if you would like to go, you could come with us the next time we go. And I gave her my card. And I said, and if you'd like to know more, just call me or come over to the church. And she took it. And my hope is that she actually will do that. Well, I reached out to her in a way which didn't make her defensive. Probably if I'd started with, do you know the four spiritual laws, that conversation would have been very brief. Now, it's not that those four spiritual laws aren't legitimate. It's not that those aren't a way to think about our relationship to Christ. But I'll tell you, they're very often not the way to begin a conversation with someone who doesn't know the Lord. And so part of the challenge for each one of us is to take the opportunities that God gives us. And a part of the equipping that I do as pastor of this church and as preacher on this morning is to encourage us to get into the game. Part of the teaching that I do last week, some of what I've done this week and I'll do in the weeks ahead, is to equip to play the game. But part of it is, as Newt Rockne might have said, get your butts up off the bench and get out on the field. You don't win games sitting in the locker room. You don't win games sitting on the bench. You have to actually get onto the field and play. You may get knocked down. It may be one of the toughest times of your life. You may be completely unappreciated, and those commentators on the side may be laughing. But the game is played on the field, and that is where we are every day of our lives. It's something we do intentionally from here now on the first and third Sundays. This is a second Sunday. That means next Sunday some will be going out again. And you might want to just ask the Lord whether you should be among them next Sunday. And the way it happens is if you'll watch, there will be people up here being prayed for, preacher being one of them. That'll be me next week. And there'll be two or three or half a dozen or a dozen others up here being prayed for. Those are being prayed for because they're also going to be sharing the word in the neighborhood. And if you'd like to be among them, then after we've done our bit of worship and singing and you watch people come up and being prayed for, just come up and kneel with them and be prayed for. And when we're done being prayed for and I stand up to preach, the other preachers go out and go to the neighborhood, and you could go with them. If you're interested and a little bit worried, talk to Rebecca. She really leads up the evangelism that we do to the neighborhoods. She'll be glad to share with you one-on-one, sitting down, talking about doing it. I have just three brief points I want to make in addition to this morning. And they have to do with our equipping. One of the things which is true about sharing the gospel, whether it's here on Sunday morning or in a neighborhood or with the person in the cubicle next to you, is the ability to be concise. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. That's pretty concise. The two commandments Jesus taught, love God with everything you've got, that's my paraphrase, and love your neighbor the way you love yourself, that's a terrific place to start. It's concise. The problem is that concise often isn't enough. It's an opening. It's a good place to start. But most folks these days who are not already in church have all sorts of reasons why they shouldn't be or don't want to be. Or they look at the church and they say, well, you guys are all just a bunch of self-righteous hypocrites anyway. Why do you do X? And why do you do Y? And why do you do Z? Do you have an answer? Do I have an answer? Can I share my faith in a way which allows me to defend it? Or do I just fumble after the first few words when I begin to talk about Jesus? And that's why we need to equip ourselves in study of Scripture, in a Bible study, in the training like we do in Roots 101 or 102. It's the reason why we learn theology. The word basically means talk about God. So theology sometimes is focusing on the paradigm shift necessary for the soteriological imperative. And it, I mean, that actually means something. But that's not the kind of theology I'm talking about. I'm talking about theology, which is the ability to talk about God because I've studied and been equipped and actually exercised my mind in understanding what it is I believe. So that as I'm called to share with others, there's some resource there that I've acquired. There's a kind of religious superficiality that we can engage in sometimes, which is, I don't get me stuck in all that theological stuff. I've got it clear and concise. Well, the problem is that clear and concise works through about sentence four in a conversation, and then we're all in trouble. And so part of my encouragement here is head. Using the extraordinary gift of mind with which God has equipped us, build that mind and its resource so that it might do the job well. Maybe it's like running wind sprints as a football player. You need to build up those muscles so that when the time comes in the game and you got the ball, you can move. Secondly is heart. Two parts to this and then I'm done this morning. So in the equipping, there's head, which we need each to choose to build resource for, to study. And there's heart. There's a wonderful expression here, which Kathy Tansel gave me. And that is that as believers, as ministers, as those who share the good news, we need to be focused on downward mobility. Downward mobility. Remember yuppies, young, upwardly mobile professionals? Yuppies? We need to be downwardly mobile. Because Jesus came as servant. He washed the feet of the disciples. He taught them how to be servants. Jesus went to the people who were the smelliest, physically smelliest, emotionally, morally. He went to the wretched and poor. We all might prefer to be in positions of power and authority and held up to high respect, but that isn't what the gospel calls us to. And you know what? If high regard and respect come along, fine. But don't cling to them because they never last. The important thing for each of us is to be willing to serve. And to serve even those we don't like. Even those we don't agree with. The parable that Jesus told of the Good Samaritan. Remember, the Samaritan was despised by the Jews. And the Samaritans despised the Jews for their part. And it was the despised one who helped one he despised. Jesus says, you're even to love your enemies and pray for them. And those include those of other faiths and no faith. Those who look like us and those who don't look anything like us. Those whose values are the same as ours and those whose values we would find repulsive. There's no category in the gospel for people that we don't share the gospel with because they're repulsive. In fact, Jesus would find that idea repulsive. And so the head, we need to equip ourselves with as much depth of understanding of God's revelation as we are able. And the heart, there needs to be downward mobility, not insisting on respect, not insisting on leadership or positions of power. I'll go and sit at the head of the table. Jesus says, sit at the bottom of the table. We need just to be willing to serve. That kind of love is an act, if you would, of the will. It doesn't even necessarily flow from emotion or the heart. We do it because Jesus told us to do it. He didn't say, if you're feeling really warm-hearted toward the people you find repulsive, then care for them. Rather, he said, care for them, regardless of how you feel. There's no opting out, there's no excuse, there's no chit that says, I don't have to do this one because this person offends me. I have to love them anyway, that's what Jesus says. And then the second part of this heart thing, the second part of the heart thing is there actually is a component to loving others that flows out of us from love. And that is when we worship. When we learn to worship before the one who sacrificed himself, Lord of Lords and King of Kings, the one who's worthy. When we engage in worship, there pours through us in that worship a love which is the very love of God pouring through us, inspiring us to love and to touch others. And sometimes that will even help us overcome the repulsion we might feel in caring for somebody who we just really don't like or can't stand to be near. To finish with a very small story of when I was a chaplain at San Francisco General Hospital. Some of you know this. It has the largest AIDS ward in the world, San Francisco General. And people come there to die. Some recover and go back, but people come there to die from AIDS. And if you've ever seen a person at the end stages of that disease, it is about as ugly a sight as you can imagine. With open, weeping sores, throats closed up by thrush, can barely speak. It's a horrible disease and a horrible death. And I was a chaplain at San Francisco General, and that was one of the wards that I went to visit. And I remember going in and visiting with a young man, probably 30 years old, dying. And I just sat and shared with him. I would actually testify that in spite of the ugliness of the disease on him, that my heart was genuinely warmed for this person that God had made and who was about to go and meet his maker again. And I just loved on him. I don't know how else to put it. I just loved on him. And when I got up to go, he said, Chaplain, I need to tell you something. And remember now that these folks in the AIDS ward are visited by activists from their own community, including some of the chaplains on that ward. And he said, you are the first person that has walked in this room who respected me. And everyone else had just seen the disease. Now, I didn't go there to get that credit. I went there just because Jesus told me that I was to love even those that I might look at and find repulsive. And that would be my testimony. Each of us, in our own way, I promise, is repulsive to someone else, though we might not imagine that true. This is not the holier-than-thou, noblesse oblige, those of us who are well and whole, helping only those who are down below our station in life. That's a horrible perversion. But it is us who have been saved by the blood of Jesus, us who have been saved by his willing sacrifice, us who heard him because of his servanthood, being formed by him to be like him, being formed by him as his priests to go into the world as he did and to bless and love and redeem exactly the same folks that he blessed and loved and redeemed. And the bottom line truth of all of this is we are one of those. The more deeply we understand that, the more fully we will surely live out the love of Christ and be formed in his image. Amen.